We continue in our series on 1 John, and so we have one more week after this week. If you're getting tired of hearing about love, you only have to hear about it one more week. As we were in Bible study, it is not difficult to understand the words of this letter, but it is difficult to get what it's talking about. Simple language about a profound mystery. Love because God loves. All that simple and all that hard. So we continue today. We're in the fourth chapter of 1 John. Again, this was a letter of pastoral advice written to the church, probably in the area of Syria, what we call Syria today, around there. It was a church that was divided in having a fight. And so the letter is written to try to bring people back together to address those problems that were related probably to some ways of thinking about life that disassociated or opposed physical and spiritual, that rejected a belief that Jesus came as a human being, that God would become a human being, and that somehow or another that impacted how people treated each other and loved one another. And so that's the context as we continue to work on what it means to love in the letter of 1 John. So if you want to follow along on the Pew Bible, it's page 1184. Listen for the word of God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming. And now it is already in the world. Little children, you are from God and have conquered them. For the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. From this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because God first loved us. This is the word of the Lord. So did you catch what the thing was saying, the scripture? Love is a good thing. I was at the church on Friday getting something, and I was loading up a lot of stuff to take home, and I had parked in the parking spot right out front here, and I parked in the green spot, giving myself 12 minutes to do all that, not in the 3-minute spot. It was the middle of the day, hard to find parking. And of course, then I answered the phone, and then I started talking, so it actually was probably about 42 minutes, not 12 minutes in the end. And as I was packing up to walk out back to my car, I saw another car with the city of Oakland written on it that had pulled up alongside my car. And the ticket maker was hopping out, and I ran out with a tray of things saying, I'm coming, don't give me a ticket. And she snapped at me. She gave me a look, and she really snapped at me with her eyes. And then I slowed down and I said, I'm the pastor of the church. I'm coming right now. I just needed to get some stuff. And then we started talking. And she gave me a different look. And as we were talking, she shared that she is used to people attacking her. She said people have actually punched her before. And that people come up with crazy good stories. And that she is really hated, she said. She knows she's hated by most people. That she usually gets nervous when someone starts talking to her on the street. And so we talked for a while, and I was struck by that, thinking about love and thinking about her. She told me that she was a teacher, and I believe she had been a teacher probably at the first strike because she's now been a ticket maker, right? I don't know what you call that, ticket. Anyway, she works for the city for about 20 years now. And she said that it is a good job even though everybody hates her. And I was struck just by thinking about her and how everyone jumps on her, including myself. And I guess I must have been pretty tame because we ended up talking for about another 12 minutes. So in all, I was in that spot for about an hour.
You probably saved some people.
I was really struck, you know, just thinking about love, thinking about how we interact with people, how we respond to people, how I respond to people. Last week, we really focused on the part of the scripture that says this, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And again, we have the same comment again today, where the author is saying, if you don't love in your actions, if you do not love, then you are not in God. If you claim to believe in Jesus and do not love, then you actually don't have faith. Faith without love is not faith. And faith that believes only in Jesus as a spiritual being that didn't enter the world to claim the world is not real faith. Because God came into our world, and our world matters. What we do matters. What we say matters. How we live matters. And God's love is perfected in how we live and what we do. Even with Graciela, the ticket lady. So I was struck by that. I was struck by thinking about the strike and, you know, everything that's been going on. Hearing people screaming about teachers or screaming about the Board of Education. The school that our kids went to is one of the ones that is slated to be closed and merged. And the news was there the other night for a meeting. I hope Gary wasn't there. It was pretty bad. Gary has to go to bad enough meetings already. But it was on the news and lots of screaming and fighting. And it turned really ugly, which of course is what the news wants to cover. And it is so easy, looking at things and even in the scripture, to say it's black and white. In fact, I think 1 John's a little dangerous because it says, we are of God, they are not of God. It is really easy to say that. I have had people say that to me. I was not of God, they were of God. And what John says is you have to discern that. And the way that you can discern it, or the proof that's in the pudding that you can find, is that if you claim to love Jesus, but you do not love your brother and sister, then you do not love Jesus. So I came back to that, thinking about that, and that there is a connection with that, with how we interact with God through Christ and how we interact with each other, that we all are tied together. And in this month of Black History Month, and also as we celebrate Lunar New Year, and in the midst of a strike, in the midst of all the things that are going on in our world and our politics, where it's easy to jump on other people, assuming that people who are conservative are racists and people who are not conservative are commies. We're quick to throw those things around in our society. That we have to do more than that. There's something about discerning. In a lot of African culture, there's this notion of Ubuntu, and it is developed in African Christianity, was responsible in large part for the peace that came about in South Africa as they reconciled. And it is a belief that actually is quite biblical, and that's in the Bible. Desmond Tutu writes a lot about it. And it is this notion that I am because we are, that we exist in terms of relationships, not matter, but in terms of community and relationships. It is what is underneath the promise that we are created in the image of God as a community with agency and responsibilities for one another. I am because we are. This week we was thinking about Tim, as Marta shared with me about Tim, and we were trying to foster that moment that we had in worship today to recognize him. Also, yesterday, some of you were here for a service for Linda Saya, a former member of our church community, and thinking about death and everything else going on, I remembered that oftentimes I've heard people say, are you right with God? Has anybody ever said that to you? It's a way of getting to talk about faith. Are you right with God? And I found myself thinking, you know, I don't like that question. And the reason why I didn't like as I was thinking about it is, at least in my life, the people who've asked me that, I don't know if they really cared about me. And then also sitting with 1 John, I was struck by that I think what 1 John would say is not, are you right with God, but are you right with your brothers and sisters? That you can't have one without the other. It's the notion of Ubuntu. It's the notion of being created in God's image. It's all of what 1 John is talking about. And then I found myself thinking about Graciela again, the lady who was writing the ticket. And actually, in the end, she wasn't even writing me a ticket. She had gotten out of the car to see if it really was a green curb or not. I only found that out because we started talking. Because I didn't scream, get away from my car, you commie pig! But because I talked with her. And then I found myself realizing that oftentimes it's easier to talk with people we don't know than it is with people that we know really well. Isn't it? I don't know why it's like that, but it is. And it's even harder to talk with family. I'm not going to say, can I get an amen? Because it is hard. And it's hard to love. It's really hard to love. Sometimes it's hard to love the people you love the most. You know what I mean? Doesn't make any sense, the words, but I think the idea makes sense. And that brought me back thinking about the scripture. And as I think about Graciela and how, you know, she really opened my eyes, and I should have said, can I get a selfie with you to show in church on Sunday? She's church going. I spent a long time with her. Thinking about, you know, we've been talking about love, what it means, and I'm struggling each week to find a different way to talk about love, telling you to do it. And last week we talked about really love. It's not just words, but it has to be an action. And as we're talking about life and the underlying theme of our series now is getting ready, thinking about life, which also means thinking about death. And what kind of life do you want? What kind of death do you want? And so recognizing that life is a social fabric. Our life is made up of our relationships. Someone told me this week, or I read somewhere, that when you die, no one at a funeral ever says, Oh, you know, they really wish they would have spent more time on Facebook. What we always say when we're contemplating death is we wish we would have spent more time with the people we loved. We wish we would have said things we never said. We wished we would have reconnected or forgiven or been forgiven. And that too is part of this love that John is talking about. And so as we end the sermon today, the blue paper that you have stapled to your bulletin, or you can get another one, is something that comes from talking about life and talking about death. And it is four statements that a lot of people will write about that as you approach death, whether you're dying tomorrow or 60 years from now, that there are some questions to think about for yourself. And so I want to invite you to take the time to work on this during the week. Who is important for you in your life? To who do you need to say thank you? To who do you need to say, I love you? And to who do you need to say, please forgive me? Because when you are at the end of your life, and if you're on a breathing machine, you can't do it. And in fact, what John is saying is, let us love today. Let us love our brothers and sisters, those people that are out there, the people that need our help, the people that write the tickets, even the Republicans or the Democrats, and in particular, the people that you love, that are dear to you. Let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. So I'm going to leave this with you and invite you to work on that this week. You don't have to turn it into me. You're not going to get a grade. But it is, we're working throughout this series trying to prepare us to deal with some end-of-life things. And, you know, what do you want out of life? What do you want out of death? What do you need to do now to be living fully? Amen.